For our scripture reading this morning, let us turn to the gospel according to Luke chapter 2, and we read the verses 39 through 52. Luke chapter 2, the verses 39 through 52. And there we read God's holy word. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have saw thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So far the reading of the Word of God. The text of the sermon is found in the portion we read, the verses 40 and 52. And you will understand that these verses are related. The verses 40 and 52, where we read the text of the sermon, "And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Beloved congregation, we will postpone our series on the life of Abraham for a couple of months and plan to study the Gospels about the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning we want to listen to Luke chapter 2, which is about Jesus' upbringing. What is revealed about Jesus' upbringing? Well, not so much. Only the evangelist Luke has recorded something. And actually, we hardly know anything about this stage of his life, since the Gospels concentrate on the last 3 years of his ministry on earth. What can we say about his upbringing if so little is recorded? And there is another difficulty as well. If we want to say something about his development from infancy to adulthood, we are limited by our understanding. We confess that the only thing that can be said of Jesus is that he is very God and very man in one person. And we cannot comprehend this mystery. We face this limitation when we will try to study Jesus' development through this stage of life. And we understand that he has developed into a grown man. But how did this development take place, seeing he is also very God as well? according to his Godhead, he cannot develop. There is not even a need for this, since God is God from everlasting to everlasting. He is unchangeable. And yet we read in verse 40 and verse 52, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Though this staggers the mind, it is recorded in Scripture to reveal to us who the Lord Jesus is. Now let us study these solemn words with reverence and sobriety, wrestling with its full implications. We first want to study the meaning and implication of these words, and secondly, we want to draw some lessons from this. And so we write above the sermon, the child Jesus grew. First of all, in all respects, and secondly, to become a perfect Savior. The child Jesus grew in all respects to become a perfect Savior. In between the words of our text, the story about the child Jesus going to the temple is recorded. This narrative is an illustration of the words of our text. Jesus is 12 years old. His body has grown in stature and his mind has grown in wisdom. It is the age that Jewish boys go to Jerusalem with their parents to celebrate the Passover. Joseph and Mary went to the temple every year. Though Mary was not obliged to go, as God-fearing parents, they had a custom to go every year. And possibly it was the first time that Jesus went to the temple. He went after the custom of the feast, says verse 42. And this indicates that it was a custom to take a 12-year-old boy along, it being the appropriate age to learn all about the rituals of the Passover. In one more year, he would be 13, the age at which a young man becomes a full member of the synagogue. So Jesus was preparing to become a son of the law, what is called today Bar Mitzvah. So far, nothing special is mentioned in this narrative. It underlines, congregation, that Jesus grew up normally. He grew up just like all other Jewish boys. Jesus is true man indeed. The sequel of the narrative points to Jesus' special calling. What happened? At the end of the feast, Joseph and Mary joined the northward bound caravan, not knowing that their child Jesus had stayed behind in Jerusalem. It was custom that the women and children traveled in front with the men and boys in the rear. At the age of 12, Jesus might fit in either category. So possibly Joseph has thought that Jesus was in front with Mary, while she may have figured that he was in the rear with Joseph. However, he wasn't. At first, they did not miss him. But when evening arrived and Jesus did not show up, Mary and Joseph became worried. They started to seek him among their relatives and acquaintances. Unsuccessful, the next day they were on their way going back to Jerusalem. And then the third day they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Was Jesus teaching the rabbis? No. Hearing and asking questions is a favorite method of teaching among the Jews. So Jesus listened to the teachers and also asked questions. The picture we see here is not unusual. It was natural for a boy to sit at the feet of his teachers, especially a boy who was about to become a son of the law. What was unusual was the boy's knowledge of theology. The questions he asked were far beyond what you would expect from a 12-year-old boy. His questions were perceptive and his understanding astonishing. Joseph and Mary were amazed as well. But Mary did not remain so for long. Her indignation comes to the surface and she began to rebuke her son. "Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And we see here a beautiful illustration of Mary treating the Lord Jesus as an ordinary child. Mary was anxious and rebukes her son. She also refers to Joseph as being his father. He was indeed his father according to the law. But the Lord Jesus refers in his answer to his heavenly father when he says, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business?" Mary and Joseph forgot the special position of their child Jesus. He has a unique relation to his Father in heaven. He is one with his Father, as he says later in John chapter 10. The Lord Jesus explains where he belongs in his Father's house and all the business concerning his Father. He says, I must. This is the purpose of his life. Jesus has understood this throughout the years of his childhood. How? Well, I believe that Jesus, as a 12-year-old boy, understood from Scripture that he had to fulfill the law, and that all the Old Testament prophecies and all the Old Testament prophecies refer to him. The Lord Jesus grew and became strong in spirit. Wisdom filled his heart. Well, we leave the story and want to focus on Jesus' development as it is expressed in the text. Verse 40 and 52 show similarities to other descriptions about someone's childhood development. For instance, in 1 Samuel 2, verse 21, we read about Samuel, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Or about Samson in Judges 13, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. Of Jesus, we find the most extensive description of someone's development. And when we pay close attention to these words, we discover his life's development in four respects. Verse 52 is a bit more extensive than verse 40, but has the same contents in principle. But we read in verse 52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Jesus increased in wisdom, which is about his mental development. He increased in stature, which points to his physical development. Thirdly, he increased in favor with man, which points to his social development. And fourthly, he increased in favor with God, which points to his spiritual development. And let us study these four aspects of development. First of all, the Lord Jesus increased in wisdom, which is about his mental development. Though the Lord Jesus is very God as well, this did not change his human nature. The Lord Jesus became very man when he became incarnate. He is very God and very man. And this cannot be explained by reasoning that he has a body of a man and the mind of God. I think we are inclined to think this sometimes, but this is an ancient heresy. The human nature and divine nature are joined in the person of Jesus Christ. This is beyond our comprehension. The Creator of all becomes a creature. His humanity was full humanity, including reason, will, and emotions. Otherwise, Jesus is no true human being. He willingly has subjected himself to the very laws that he had created in his Godhead. This does not mean that we fully understand this. We don't. But since he is very man, he also knows of all the stages a man goes through from infancy to adulthood. Mary and Joseph have taught Jesus things he did not know. We are all restricted to space and time. And this applied to the Lord Jesus in his human nature as well. Mary will have taught him to read and write. He will have memorized the law of God. Jesus memorized the confession of the Jews as well in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Jesus was born with the mental capacity of a normal child and went through the ordinary process of intellectual development, yet without sin. Emotionally, he developed as well. So Jesus also developed a sense of self. He discovered his personality. He learned to speak by repeating his mother Mary. And maybe one day Mary showed Joseph what their little Jesus had written. The whole alphabet. His human mind was not omniscient, but limited. And Jesus will have used his maximum mental capacity to learn. He did not learn automatically, but he will have tried to learn as much as he could. And he was never lazy. He never did as if he knew better. He never cheated. He learned the history of Israel. He memorized the geography of Israel. He gained knowledge. Well, he had created the laws of mathematics and nature. As a little child, he has to learn them all. Now, when he turned 12, he knew much more than he was 6. He did not know anything that was beyond the capacity of a human mind at that age. On the other hand, he was miles ahead of his parents when it comes to knowledge and insight into all that he learned. You may expect that he looked forward to going with his parents to Jerusalem and to learn all the rituals regarding the Passover. He also increased in stature, which points to his physical development. What do you think happened after the Lord Jesus was born? We read in Luke chapter 2 that Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes. He had physical needs. And Mary has fed her son Jesus. And he grew and began to babble. His arms and legs moved uncontrollably. But after some time, he learned to use his hands and his feet to move around. He became a toddler and learned to crawl. He took his first steps and fell. He tried again, and finally he could walk without support from Mary. We should not assume that Jesus always succeeded right away on whether he undertook. Failures are no sin, but consequences of sin. And Jesus developed and had to practice many things before he really did succeed. Jesus was also subject to the rule, practice makes perfect. And before Mary and Joseph knew it, Jesus was a teenager. He grew from infancy through adolescence to adulthood. And Mary will have exclaimed, "What a big boy you are!" Joseph and Mary will have enjoyed the physical stages he went through. He must have helped Joseph in the carpentry shop. Joseph will have taught him how to hold the hammer and how to use a wood planer. Joseph, no doubt, put his hand on Jesus' hand, repeating how to use the various tools. "This is how you should move, boy. Be careful. Otherwise, you will hurt yourself." And Jesus will have experienced his limitations. He got tired and began to sweat since he worked so hard. And sometimes he felt muscle pain. The three days journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem will have made a 12-year-old boy tired as well. He needed to rest. His body needed nourishment. He sensed that he was growing older, and he experienced that he had become more mature since he was allowed to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. He grew in stature. From a child, he developed into a teenager. He experienced all the changes inside and outside the body. And he has felt the maturation of his body and everything that is related to this. He became an adult and went through all the normal physical and mental changes. And he knew of the temptation to give in to unrestrained desires, young people. And he knew of the temptation to use your body for wrong things. He knew of it all. But he did not fall into any temptation. He was without sin. He never used his mouth, his ears, or his eyes for wrong ends. His conscience never accused him of doing wrong. His body and mind remained pure and undefiled. He is true man, yet completely righteous, without sin. And thirdly, he increased in favor with man, which points to his social development. That means that the Lord Jesus was not a strange, weird person. He was raised in Nazareth, and the people of this town knew who Jesus was. Later, the people will say, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" He adjusted well to his environment, and the people will have known him as a polite and well-behaved young man. He was known as a friendly and helpful boy. He always showed respect to others. He was pleasant a boy to love. And when he was in Jerusalem, he must have met some of his peers. He mingled among them. He associated with the kids of Nazareth. He was also respectful toward Mary and Joseph. He submitted himself to them. He highly respected their authority as ordained by God. That is what we understand from verse 51. And was subject unto them. He obeyed without complaint. He was never cheeky. He never argued with his parents. He did not scream at them. Neither did he slam the door out of frustration. He showed affection to them. He was helpful and faithful. He was also patient with them. Yes, he needed to be. Since no child has ever seen the shortcomings of his parents so clearly as Jesus did. And he noticed their weaknesses and infirmities. However, he bore it all without teaching them how better to behave, respecting them as his parents. And he never rebelled, but willingly bore them, even when they treated him badly. He lovingly obeyed them. He increased in favor with man, yet without sin. And fourthly, he increased in favor with God, which points to his spiritual development. In verse 40, we read that the grace of God was upon him. This does not mean that God looked upon him in favor while undeserved. This is not about God's favor toward sinners. Now, what is meant here is that God is well pleased with his son. Jesus' development from baby to teenager is approved by God. His physical and mental development is a pleasure in God's eye. And I believe this is how we should read the words, "And Jesus increased in favor with God." God the Father has seen his son developing into a true man. He went through the stages of baby, toddler, child, adolescent, and mature man. And God rejoiced in his development. He has also seen that Jesus increasingly understood his special calling, namely, as the Messiah of whom the prophets have spoken. He realized that he must be about his father's business. This was his response to Mary when she found him in the temple after his parents had lost him. And God has seen this and rejoiced. His son is the perfect mediator for his church. And therefore, at the threshold of Jesus' public appearance, when he got baptized by John, he opened heaven and said with a loud voice, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus was the Son of his good pleasure from the very beginning of his life here on earth till his death. He fully met his Father's expectations of the servant of the Lord. Jesus is the perfect Savior for his people. And congregation, I don't dare to ask you whether you understand this all. And if you can, you are certainly more advanced than I. Who can comprehend this mystery? Who understand this miracle of Christ's incarnation? God manifest in the flesh. Let us now consider the implications of the words of our text. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, and therefore he is a perfect Savior. He is a perfect Savior since he was sinless. He is a perfect mediator since he was obedient to the law in all respects at all times. He obeyed God's law in every stage of life, as a toddler, as a child, as a teenager, and as an adult. He loved God above all with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his mind. And he loved his neighbor as himself. Since he was very man without sin, he was able to make full satisfaction for the guilt of others. God punishes a man for his sin. Jesus Christ is the perfect mediator to bear the guilt of his people. How can this be, since no man is able to bear the burden of God's wrath against sin, let alone of all the elect? No, you're right. However, Jesus was not only true man, but also true God. And by his Godhead, he was also able to sustain the burden of God's eternal wrath against sin. But he's the perfect mediator for people who must confess that they sin against the good-doing God, who must confess that they daily increase their debt before God. Jesus is a perfect mediator in every stage of life. This implies that he is able to save not only adults, but also young adults, teenagers, children, infants, and even unborn babies. He has obeyed God's law in all these stages. Therefore, he is a perfect mediator. The Lord Jesus also suffered in all these stages. Suffered? Yes, we confess that the Lord Jesus has suffered the entire time that he lived on earth. He suffered from the very beginning when he cried and was hungry as a little baby. He suffered when he became conscious of self and as he noticed that everyone around him developed a sense of self apart from God, that is, self-centered. He has suffered as a child when he saw other children disobeying their parents. He has suffered when he saw Mary and Joseph offending his heavenly Father by their sins. And Isaiah says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This did not start at the end of his life, but right away at the beginning. Isn't he an adorable mediator? The Word became flesh, and he adopted our carnal flesh, yet he was without sin. And he has suffered from all he saw and observed around him. The atmosphere he breathed in was permeated with sin. Yet it did not affect his obedience to his heavenly Father. He remained sinless. No, says the apostle to the Hebrews, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And who can comprehend this? This is the way Jesus learned. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. Why? Because he so loved his Father. He so loved to do the will of his Father. And he desired to fulfill all that was written about him in Scripture. And therefore, he is a perfect Savior As the apostle writes to the Hebrews, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And what a comfort for all those who have learned to rely on the Lord and his word. What a comfort for all those who repent from sin to God, taking refuge to the only surety and mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, since he is a perfect mediator. He welcomes every one of us. He commands you to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't he invite, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? All ye that labor. And the word "all" does not exclude anyone. You cannot be too young to seek the Lord. And you cannot be too old either. You can only be too late. When are you too late? When you die without being reconciled by the blood of Christ. But blessed are those who flee to Christ, who is approachable in whatever stage of life you are in. Do you hear this, children? Jesus Christ is the perfect Savior for children as well. And he pays special attention to children. He instructs his disciples, "Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." And the Lord Jesus went through all stages of life. You can turn to the Lord Jesus at any stage of life. He also pardons the sin of all stages of life, since he has satisfied God's wrath against sin on Golgotha. With the Lord Jesus, you find forgiveness of sin. Not only for the sins you remember and confess before the Lord, but also the sins and transgressions you have already forgotten. The sins you committed in your childhood and in your adolescence. And on the other hand, when you grow older, you still remember many sins you have committed in your childhood. They can haunt you, and the devil loves to remind you of these sins, trying to lead you into despair. Well, listen, there is forgiveness of these sins also. David prays in Psalm 25, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou for me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." With the Lord Jesus is forgiveness also for these sins. And David confesses in Psalm 51, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." The Lord Jesus knows. He has also borne the iniquity in which we are born, since he has become true man from the very beginning of life. So in Christ, we find unspeakable consolation. He has not only made reconciliation for his people, he has also merited eternal salvation. Eternal salvation by his perfect obedience in every stage of life. This also means that he knows exactly how to sanctify your life. Sanctification means that your heart, mind, and will increasingly are focused on the will of God. And you hate sin and you love to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is a perfect Savior, and he perfectly knows what you are going through as a child and a teenager, since he was made in likeness of man. In Hebrew 5 we read, "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. He knows of your weaknesses. He knows of your infirmities. Young people, he knows of your many questions. He knows of your overwhelming feelings which you don't know how to control. He knows what it means to grow up into adulthood. He knows, and he has compassion. This means that with the Lord Jesus, there is grace for every stage of life. Whatever you go through, whatever you experience, with the Lord is abundance grace. Grace to stand firm in the midst of many temptations. Grace to purify your heart, mind, and feelings. Grace to understand yourself. Grace to have no expectation apart from the Lord. Jesus Christ is the compassionate high priest who makes intercession for his church day and night. And what a blessing. What a blessing that the Lord Jesus went through all stages of life. Though you may feel that no one understands, he does. Oh, repent from sin and turn to him, for he is able and willing to carry you. This is the only way to stand in the midst of many temptations that befall you. Seek the Lord while you are young. Isn't that Solomon's advice and precept? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The Lord Jesus has perfectly done all this. What? To remember his Creator. He was mindful of his heavenly Father, and therefore he could withstand the many temptations he met with. Not because he was a kind of Superman. Jesus had the same body as we all have, yet without sin. He could withstand the temptations only because he was mindful of his Father. Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? His heart was filled with that desire. And by his grace, he is able and willing to fill the hearts of young people and old with the same desire. Oh, beseech the Lord for his mercy and pray that he will renew you so that you will begin to resemble the image of the Lord Jesus. I also want to say something to all parents and grandparents and those who associate with children. The Lord Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. We have seen that he grew physically and mentally. He became wise since he was taught from the scriptures. He was taught by his parents, possibly also by the rabbis at the rabbinical school in Nazareth. He was taught by the scribes and Pharisees in the temple. What matters is that he grew in wisdom because he was taught from scripture. And that was the particular method by which Jesus became wise, since humans learn when they are taught. And what age should we teach our children? When they turn 5 or so? No. You should teach your children right away. When they are a baby, you can sing psalters to them. And when they are a toddler, you can tell Bible stories. And when they grow older, you can teach them the doctrine of the church. And in this way, they will increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. because by the applicatory work of the Spirit. We need people who sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We need men like Timothy, who was taught on grandmother's lap. Children are like a sponge. They quickly absorb what they are taught. Let the education of your children be your daily concern. Maybe your children hardly increase in knowledge and wisdom since they are limited in capacity. This can be a cause of much concern and sorrow. May it comfort you that the Lord Jesus knows about this. He is the compassionate high priest. He is able and willing to grant and impute His righteousness, which does not depend on our capacity, but on His accomplished work. Maybe you are a parent with a burdened heart. You have tried to raise your children in the fear of the Lord, and you see your many shortcomings, and sometimes you are afraid that due to your shortcomings, your child or children have gone astray. It is not easy to raise children, to fortify against the hedonistic culture we live in. Our society is focused on shallow joy, pleasure, and entertainment. And all in life must be nice and attractive. It's poison. It's poison for the soul. And some young people have given themselves over to unbridled indulgence, destroying their own body and mind, abusing life itself. And you feel helpless, and they don't listen to your good advice. Well, you may pour out your heart before the Lord, since He knows of the character of the many temptations in which they fall. He is able to deliver, since He has overcome sin and Satan. And maybe you think, yes, I know, and I pray the Lord for His intervention, but I don't see any change. Oh, what a burden. You don't have the solutions. Neither do I. However, allow me to point to Mary. Though your situation is completely different, we also see a similarity. Mary didn't understand it either. She was puzzled. We read in verse 50, "And they understood not the saying which He spake unto them." You can also be puzzled with many questions. But we also read about Mary, who kept all these things in her heart. And in her heart means she pondered over her concerns and brought them all to the Lord. And she entrusted all her perplexities and considerations to the Lord. Well, may this story encourage you to have great expectation of the Lord, since He knows all. Jesus Christ has become true man in order to save sinners. And if you are entangled by sin and you don't know what to do, I may point you to this Lord Jesus, who knows all and understands all. This is the conviction and confidence He is willing to grant. He has come among us to become a perfect Savior for wretched sinners. Is He not worthy to entrust all your burdens to? Amen.